Okay, our the gospel, which in interesting ways dovetails with the First Kings lesson, is Luke 9, beginning at verse 51. This is a major turning point in the Gospel of Luke, the beginning of what's commonly called a travel narrative that runs all the way, at the least, through chapter 18, and depending on how you structure it, through chapter 19. And it's called the travel narrative because at this point Jesus turns to Jerusalem and starts heading south, and there's lots of stuff here. I was thinking, Tim, as you were, you know, leading us through 1 Kings, that there's some similarities and some differences. Elijah, I would take it, is he's low. He lacks confidence. He's in despair, and so Yahweh responds to that. I think you could argue that the people in this text are overconfident. So in that sense, it's the same theology, that is, cross. I was trying to think about a homiletical direction, because this text can become sort of a scolding law. You should be more committed to Jesus, blah, 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 blah. But I think the way to do it without eviscerating its meaning, which of course we could do if we tried, is to simply say, look, you're following someone. He knows where the path leads. You don't. So, and that would actually give you a chance to, A, you know, put to death the sin of calculating, you know, I know what I'm willing to do as a Christian, what I'm not, I know what it's going to take, whatever. But then, of course, the motivation would be to lift up the vision of who this Jesus is who sets his face to go to Jerusalem. So homiletically, I think it would be a great opportunity to pry people's fingers loose from whatever it is that they're confidently holding on to and say, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to follow Jesus here. But you know what? He is actually the right one to follow. So, all right, so let's kind of walk through here fairly quickly. We start with a Septuagintalism. I feel better about myself for having said that today. Where you have Egenita, and it came to pass. You know, Luke uses this. Matthew doesn't like to use this. So Luke, a more refined writer, actually likes to do this. So just take it as a temporal clause. So when, and then we have en to plus the infinitive, which normally in the New Testament expresses has a temporal force, while or when, or it happened while. Then we have the days of his taking up. Days is the subject of the infinitive, sum plerustai. And then we have a chi, and now finally the main clause, he himself set his face. So you could kind of smooth out that first part by just taking it as a dependent clause. And when the days of his taking up were being fulfilled, because it's a present infinitive. The big debate in Lucan circles is, what does analempseos refer to? And it seems to me, not being a Lucan specialist, but having read a little tiny bit, that it simply refers to the entire complex of events: journey to Jerusalem, death, resurrection, ascension. So he's literally headed up now, because you always go up to Jerusalem, right? And almost in a Johannine way, maybe, he's being lifted up, and then he'll be taken up into heaven, you know, at the end of Luke and the beginning of Acts. So in other words, it's time for the show. This is what it's all about. So then, autos ta prosopon este risen. He set his face, it's kind of a Semitic way of speaking. Now, to plus the infinitive can express just purpose here, I think, so as to journey to Jerusalem. And then you get this repeatedly through the travel narrative. Luke keeps reminding you of where Jesus is going, what's going to happen, why he's going there, and so forth. So he's going to confront evil and seemingly to be defeated by it. But God will raise him from the dead. Okay. And that's the Jesus that we can hold out to the people in the congregation, to all Christians who are following him. You know, we follow the one who seemingly is defeated by evil, but God vindicates him, and he will also vindicate all who trust in him. So it's a great, very hard-nosed text in a way. You know, I like being a Lutheran. if you're a good Lutheran, you're not surprised by anything. So, of course, none of us are good Lutherans, but that's another question. Verse 52. And he, that is Jesus, apostelon, this is just from apostello, it's a weak a liquid verb, so it's got a funny spelling in the middle of the stem, but just aorist indicative. He sent, literally angels, but messengers before his face. And, literally, journeying from poruomai, take this as an attendant circumstance, and they went and entered into a village of Samaritans. Now, I had to look this one up. I hoped that this was the case, and it was. Host can actually express purpose. It's very flexible. We learn it in vocab as simply comparative, as, or like. But in order to prepare for him, so Jesus is heading to Jerusalem, but nobody wants him. Even the Samaritans don't want him, right? Verse 53, and they did not receive him. This adexanta is from dekomai, it's deponent. So it just counts as an aorist indicative with an active meaning. And they did not receive him because his face, now we have a periphrastic construction, the linking verb ein plus the participle, was journeying to Jerusalem. Now we get the overconfidence theme, right? And in this case with a vengeful overtone. But seeing the disciples, James and John, said, Lord, do you want we shall say? It's a little awkward. It's kind of a way of saying, shall we call or shall we say fire to come down from the sky or from heaven and to burn them, to devour them. You could probably label these infinitives indirect discourse. To say that fire come down from heaven and devour them. That, by the way, analosai is from analisco. Again, don't make a vocab card. It doesn't occur all that often, but it's the aorist infinitive active. So James and John, they want to do the opposite of the way of the cross, right? They're the premier theologians of glory. They want fiery glory. And by the way, is this the 2 Kings 1:10? Is that Elijah on Mount Carmel?
I think that that's the Elisha one where the... Isn't that where the people...
Oh, that's... is that where they...
Elijah...
I didn't look it up, but 2 Kings 1:10. Tim will look it up for us while we keep going. So. Anyway, 55. But turning, this is from Strepho. It's a strong six principal parts. It's actually the aorist participle passive. But turning, he rebuked them, and they journeyed into another village. And now we get these three overly optimistic volunteers for discipleship, or they come to Jesus with conditions. It occurred to me that each one of them, it's sort of like a conditional sentence. If I get to do this, then I'll follow. If I get to do this, permit me to do this, then I'll follow. So they think they can set the terms, and Jesus... I mean, we all end up doing this from time to time, but you can't do it on purpose. You can't do it up front. You can't look Jesus in the eyeball and say, I'm going to follow you under these conditions. You just can't do it. I mean, so he just says no. Anyway, genitive absolute. And as they were journeying in the way, which way? The way to Jerusalem. Someone, Tis, said to him, Akaluthe, so I will follow you, hapu e'an, which is like hapu on, wherever you depart, from the subjunctive of apirkamai. A little overconfident here. So let me tell you where I might end up going. Verse 58. And he said to him, the Jesus, the foxes have pholeus, this means hole or den, it's accusative plural. Foxes have holes, and the birds of the sky supply have. This is a third declension, so this is actually accusative plural, have nests, dwelling places. But the Son of Man does not have, literally, where he might recline the head. This is actually the subjunctive in an indirect question. But that would take more time to explain further than it's actually worth at this point in time. But that's why kline is subjunctive. Where he might lay his head. you don't know what's up ahead, pal. You know, you think you can follow me wherever I go? Again, it's overconfident. A second opportunity comes up, verse 59. He said to another, this time Jesus says, akoluthemoi, follow me. This is, it's akolutheo, it's an epsilon contract verb. This is, it looks like an indicative third singular, oase. It's actually an imperative. It's because of the vowel contraction. So, follow me. Ha de, change of subject, but he said, Lord, this is from epitrepo, aorist imperative, permit me, departing first, to bury my father. Big discussion on what this means. Some argue it means that the father is dead. Some argue it means carry out your filial obligation until he dies. Whatever it means, the guy says first. He looks Jesus in the eye and says, the conditions of my discipleship are, I'll put somebody else before you. At which point Jesus says, verse 60, Aphes from Aphemi, aorist imperative, allow the dead people to bury their own dead. But you, departing, announce the reign of God. Again, the point is you can't say to Jesus, first I'll do this, at least up front, you can't do it. Then verse 61, and another said, and another also said, I will follow you, Lord, first, see here it is again, first, permit me to take leave of, this is from apotasso, which only occurs in our literature in the middle voice, permit me to take leave of those in my house. Again, big debate, does this mean just go say goodbye? Does this mean ask their approval? Again, maybe the real point is he's saying, first this, Jesus, then you. Verse 62, Jesus said to him, no one, after putting the hand upon the plow, I had to look up aratron, means plow, apparently, and after seeing into the behind things, is well suited, is fit for the reign of God. So again, I think you can sense how this could become just absolute crushing law. And almost, and you actually see this pericope titled this way, Conditions for Discipleship. See, I think that would be to misunderstand it. You know, Jesus is going to Jerusalem, right? And we know what's going to happen there. Again, he's going to confront sin and evil and rebellion. And it looks like it's going to win, right? Just like in this life, it a lot of time looks like the enemy is winning, right? But it's not going to win. God's going to vindicate him. God's going to raise him from the dead. And so our hope in this life is for what vindication in the presence of God now through forgiveness of our sins and vindication on the last day. I mean, God is going to make it right. So rather than saying, you know, only if you're committed, only if you're determined, only then can you follow Jesus, I think you can just preach this to say, look, the Jesus we follow is the Jesus who went to Jerusalem to suffer and die and rise. He doesn't tell us, there's that marvelous collect that we use before travel, where you let your people, you let Abraham in the wilderness, send your people forth not knowing where they go, only that your hand is leading them and your love supporting them, something like that. See? And so it's really an invitation and an opportunity to proclaim this reliable Jesus, not reliable in the sense that he makes our lives the way we'd like them to be, but this reliable Jesus because he will save, and you don't actually know in advance where he's going to lead you. So, I mean, look at us. We're all here in St. Louis. I didn't even go to school here.
You could easily preach this text as if this is kind of a project to be accomplished.
Right.
Not what Jesus is kind of setting forth another project.
Nope.
To be the right kind of a disciple.
Nope.
Because when you think about this, he cuts you right off right away. You can't.
Right.
Like you said, you can't do kind of anything.
No, you're not allowed to say first this, then you.
And yeah. It's not like you can say to him, well, I have my priorities straight, therefore I'm your disciple.
Right, no. It's not about you. Yeah. Right, yeah, that's right. It's kind of like the insane promise that we make eighth graders say. You know, will you be faithful unto death?
Yeah.
And you know what?
Right.
They don't have to know what they're going to face. They just say, I will with the help of God. Or like, will you adorn this gospel with a holy life as a pastor? I will with the help of God. I mean, you know, that's all you can say, right? Yeah. So anyway, that's it. Good.